Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That hymn you just sang is Luther's hymn on baptism that he wrote for the catechism. So it's all about baptism, and that is what we're going to talk about today. Of course, our scripture readings all talk about baptism, Jesus being baptized in the Jordan, and our baptism into Christ. And you know all the benefits of baptism, but one that we're going to especially kind of hone in this morning is contentment. That baptism into Christ gives contentment. And you all know the saying, the grass is greener on the other side, right? That's always our problem. The other side always looks better than our side. We happen to have a very good side. We've been baptized into Christ, but that doesn't keep us from always being discontent. Discontented, I should say. Always looking at the other side, whether it be the other side of the fence or the other side of the aisle or the other side of town or whatever the case might be. The other side always looks better. Of course, some of our members right now, you know, are down in Florida. You know, that other side looks pretty good, doesn't it, right now? The grass definitely probably is a little greener on that side. Not that we should complain. We've had a pretty mild winter. But, you know, the grass definitely looks greener for them, 70, 80 degrees. But this, you know, I think about this saying all the time. I don't know, you know, it's always in my mind. The grass is always greener on the other side. Well, I started thinking about, why do I always think about that saying? Because I'm always doing it, right? Because I'm constantly doing that. The grass is always looking greener on the other side to me. It makes me think of the saying all the time. We all do this constantly. It's called discontent. Not being happy with what we've been given. Instead, we look at what everybody else has been given and we think it looks better. So I could be, you know, eating my peanut butter and jelly sandwich here, enjoying it. It's nice and tasty and I have no problem with it until I look over and the next guy has a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and, you know, man, his just looks a lot tastier than mine, right? We do this with everything. You know, I'm trying to give a silly example, but the bottom line is we do this with everything all the time. Jobs. I mean, how often do we look at other people's jobs and say, man, wouldn't that be nice, right? Doesn't their job look stress-free? I'm sure it is, right? Doesn't their job look easier? You know, mine is so much harder. So we do it with jobs. We do it with physical appearance, right? The other person's body. You know, I wish I had their body. I wish I had their wardrobe. I wish I had their hair. You know, it always looks greener on the other side. The other person's spouse, right? It always seems like everybody else has a better spouse, right? This is what we do with everything. Everything. Grass is greener on the other side. The other side looks better. Well, here's the thing about these readings and the truth about baptism. The truth is Jesus actually takes us to the other side. This is where our contentment should come in. Okay, the other side definitely looks better. Jesus' side looks better. Because there's heaven, there's eternal life, there's forgiveness, there's light. And that side looks good. Well, guess what he does in baptism? He takes you to that other side where the grass is as green as it will ever be. Martin Luther in our catechism, he says, what benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, it rescues from death and the devil, and it gives eternal salvation to all who believe this as the words and promises of God declare. Well, you know all of that. You know it gives forgiveness of sin. You know it rescues from death and the devil and gives eternal salvation. Well, you put all those together, what does that spell? Contentment. That's contentment. Knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing you have eternal salvation, knowing you've been rescued from death and the devil. See, that's what Jesus does in baptism. He takes you to the other side, his side, the good side, so that you can just rest and say, I'm content. I'm on the good side. Now, go back to the Old Testament for a minute and think about how often this comes up. God taking his people to the other side. The first one, of course, is the Exodus, right? That's the biggest story of the Old Testament. God's people are in Egypt, in slavery, everything's terrible, and they're looking, oh, you know, the grass is greener over there. We'd like to go over there. Well, God sends Moses and takes them to the other side, right? They cross right through the middle of the Red Sea. And they, you know, they're out of slavery. They're God's chosen people. You know, he gives Moses to lead them, gives them his law. Now, you know, were they content? No, not even close. The minute they get out there, they start complaining. Oh man, this wilderness stinks. I wish we were back in Egypt again. Right? God gives them manna to eat, the bread that he provides on the ground. They say, oh, we get so sick of this manna. I wish we were back in Egypt, you know, eating the meat there. That, I mean, if you want to see the sinful human nature, just read the Old Testament. They're never content. God leads them to the other side and they want to go back to Egypt. Well, finally, of course, God brings them through the wilderness and they get to the Jordan River. And this is the Old Testament reading today, Joshua chapter 3. They're standing at the Jordan River and they can literally, you know, look over it and see the promised land. The grass is greener over there. That's where we're going. You know, land of milk and honey. Oh, it's going to be so great. You know, this is going to be wonderful. God leads them through. You know, they step into the water with the Ark of the Covenant. The water splits. They go in there. God gives them the promised land. You know, they conquer Jericho, conquer all these other cities. Now, were they content? No. Again, right? Not content. They longed for everything that God didn't give them. So when God brought them in there, he said, don't go worship the Canaanite gods. Don't go marry the Canaanite wives. You know, don't intermarry with them. Don't give in, you know, to these Canaanite kings. But what do? The grass looks greener on the other side. So they start to go worship with the Canaanites. They worship at their temples. They start to intermarry in their families. And eventually they say, we want a king like everybody else has a king. And that's a sign. They weren't content with God. They wanted something else. And that's the way it is. That's the sinful human nature. The grass is always greener somewhere else. It's a problem with sinners like us. God has given us everything we need. We have his word. Okay? We have everything that we need for this body and life, but it's not enough. We're not content. We want more. We wish for other things. Well, finally, after having enough with, you know, God's people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, finally God sends his own son. And here's where it gets so interesting. Jesus winds up right there at the Jordan River, the same place where the Israelites had crossed over into the promised land. This time it's Jesus standing there. And Jesus goes there to be baptized, and John says, what are you doing here? You know, you don't need this. There's no reason for you to be baptized here. You already are on the good side. You know, you don't need it. You don't have to repent of anything. You've got everything. You know, you've got the kingdom of heaven. Why come here to be baptized? But Jesus says, don't worry, John. Let it be this way, for it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. See, that would be that the perfect baptism where God is going to bring us with Jesus to the right side. And so Jesus is baptized, heaven opens up, and we hear this voice say, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And just substitute the word for well pleased, say content. This is my beloved Son with whom I am content. See, it doesn't get any greener than this. Right here, right there at the Jordan River, God baptizing the Father baptizing his Son and saying, this is my Son, with him I'm well pleased. Right there is your contentment. Think about those two words, beloved and well pleased. Those tell you, I mean, if that doesn't give you contentment, right? That to know that God loves you and to know that he's well pleased with you. I mean, think about how good you feel just when anybody else is pleased with you and when they're happy with what you did or whatever. That is a wonderful feeling. Now magnify that times like a million to think about the God, Lord of heaven and earth, is pleased with you. He's content with you. Because when he looks down at his Son, Jesus Christ, he sees your forgiveness. He sees your eternal life. He sees you on the good side, the right side of things. In other words, God doesn't need you to be better, smarter, more beautiful, to have more. God doesn't need any of that. He looks at you and says, behold, my child with whom I'm well pleased. And that is really contentment. So then finally, I take you to the epistle reading. Paul, what does that contentment do for us? And Paul says, the first thing it does away with boasting. It does away with us having to compare ourselves with each other and trying always to get to the other side, you know, because that's what we're always trying to do when we're not content. We're always comparing, wanting to get what other people have. But when you have Christ and you have contentment, you don't have to do any of that. There doesn't need to be any boasting. I don't need to compare with anyone. I have everything. Right? Paul says, look, none of you, he says, none of you were anything before God called you. Not many of you were wise, he said. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But look what God has given you. In Christ, he has given you wisdom and sanctification and righteousness and redemption. The grass on God's side is really, really green. And so Paul says, if we're going to boast about something, that's what we're going to boast about. We're going to boast about how good we have it in Christ. We're going to boast about how wonderful it is for the Father to be well pleased with us and content with us. So ask yourself, are you content? You know, I know so often we aren't, right? We're discontent. We want things different than the way they are. But remember that the grass is never going to get any greener. It couldn't possibly get any greener than it is for you in Jesus Christ, as one who's been baptized into him, as one who's been forgiven, as one who is loved, as one who God sees and he's well pleased with you, content with you. And God grant then that you and I, on the other side of it, would be well pleased and content. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.